Well, good morning. I am not Pastor Nathan Hyde, but I'm very grateful I was given the opportunity to preach from the Word of God this morning in Mark chapter 6. And so today what we're going to be looking at is Jesus feeding the 5,000. This is probably the most famous miracle in the Bible. There's others. But this is highlighted in all four Gospels. So obviously it's very important, and I'm honored to be able to share it with you today. So I'm going to start quickly with a word of prayer, and then we're going to read from Mark chapter 6. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. I thank you that we can all gather here and worship you. And I just pray that though I am flawed, that everyone here would learn something from your word today. And they would all be affected in a positive way from it, and that they would learn more about you ultimately. In your name, amen. Amen. All right, so if you have not already, flip to Mark chapter 6, and we're going to be starting in verse 30. And also, I do not have a PowerPoint, which might be different, but get used to it. All right. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. And the many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages, and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread, and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. All right. And so what I would say is the main idea of this passage, I always like to start exploring the main idea, because really it shapes the whole rest of the sermon and of this passage. And so if you're going to think about one thing, think about this this whole time, because it's going to be important what I'm talking about. So the main idea of this passage is that Jesus can provide / meet the needs when we can't. He can meet our needs when we can't. He's the great provider. And so think about that as we're exploring through this passage this morning. And so the first thing that we see is we see a need for rest for the apostles. Now, why do they need to rest? Well, the passage tells us. It says, apostles returned to Jesus and told them all that they had done and taught. If you remember from Mark 6, starting in verse 7, Jesus, he sends the apostles away to go on ministry. And he even says he gives them the power to cast out demons, and they're going to many countries, sharing the word. And he even says here in verse 8, says he charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts. And so this seems like it'd be a very tiring work, and they'd be very exhausted. They had the bare essentials at the least to do this. And yet they were trusting in God that he would give them the energy that they needed, and that he would handle their needs. And so they're reporting back to Jesus all that they've done. They're telling the master what was going on, maybe some things they witnessed, people came to know Christ, anything that happened, they were reporting to him. And they were very tired. And Jesus notices this, and he says in verse 31, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Now see, the disciples, they cannot find rest by themselves. Why? There's all sorts of crowds of people following them all the time. They're very popular people. And so Jesus, he offers them rest by taking them to a desolate place, or maybe a desert place, where at least they hoped, obviously, they didn't find that place. They hoped that other people wouldn't be there so that they could rest. And see, this passage says, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Now, a while in here might seem like, wow, they got to rest for a really long time. Well, really, that's not really the case. If you look back to the original Greek, when it says a while, that really means brief. The word is oligos. And so really it means a brief amount of time, a very short amount of time. The apostles were called by Jesus to do a very important job, and obviously it was very time-consuming. And so Jesus was only going to give them the rest they needed and then send them away because they had a lot of work to do. But ultimately, this doesn't go according to their plan, to the disciples' plan. As they were traveling to this desolate place, they run into a lot of people. Because these people, they were running to this place because they wanted to see Jesus and the disciples. And so really here we see the sovereignty of Jesus. That he's in control of everything. They did not run into this crowd by mistake. Jesus wasn't like, wow, there's a lot of people here. I didn't know that was going to happen. No. But this was Jesus' plan, as he has a plan for everything. You see his sovereignty here. And see, he had a plan to minister to these lost sheep. As he says, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he planned to shepherd them. And so we see Jesus' compassion here in verse 34. It says, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And see, this compassion, as we see in the Greek, it's not just a feeling that you get for someone else. Oh, I kind of feel bad for them. No, that's not what it is. But Jesus, this compassion, he was moved by it. It changed him. It truly did change him. And see, this, it changed him so much that it was followed by a response. He didn't just, oh, I feel bad for them, and then he went to another place. No, he stopped and he ministered to them. It says that he taught them many things. So it's immediately followed by a response to that. Jesus, he taught these people more about him because they needed that. They needed to hear the good news. They needed to hear the truth. And oftentimes we might feel compassion towards somebody. We might feel bad for somebody. But are we truly responding? Oftentimes we don't. We'll just let bad things happen to someone else. Or if someone's struggling, we'll just let them struggle. We'll feel bad for them, but there's no response. And is that truly compassion? Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit. And catch this, who dwells in you. If you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you. So what does this mean? Is that God can use you to minister to someone else. God can use you to help someone else who is in need. Brothers and sisters. Many ways people suffer. People suffer from depression. People suffer from anxiety, loss of a loved one, and it's hard to cope with these things by themselves. But if you have the power of the Holy Spirit, then God can use you as His instrument to help those people in need. And so that's the compassion of Jesus, so that, in that He was moved, He was changed by these people. He knew that they needed Him, and so He responded. Now the disciples' response is a bit different, in that it's more self-centered. They really cared more about themselves than the needs of these people. Now how do we see this? Well, let's look in the scriptures. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." So they weren't really concerned about the needs, at least as much as Jesus, about the needs of these people, that they were hungry. But really, they just wanted to rest now. And that would be a hard temptation, considering how tired they were for all the ministry they've been doing, just to say, just send these people away so we can rest. Get them away from here. Come on, Jesus, you said that we were going to be by ourselves. And so in that way, we see a little bit different response from the disciples than from the humble servant, Jesus Christ. And then we also see it in another way. After they say this, Jesus immediately challenges them. But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And see, the way they respond is just from thinking practically, not from recognizing that the very second person of the Trinity standing next to them, and who is able to do this miracle. But they say, well, let's just read what they say. "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And in another one of the Gospels, it says that 200 denarii, which is a full day's wage for a common worker, by the way. Full denarii is quite a bit of money back then. That just 200 denarii would just give them a little piece. But they really wouldn't be full, but just a little piece. So what he's saying is, are we supposed to do that? Come up with 200 denarii, go buy it, and then give it to these people? You can sense that they're like, "Jesus, this is not going to happen." It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith that Jesus truly can work a miracle. Once again, this starts with the fact that they truly just wanted rest, and they didn't care as much about these people. They weren't as concerned as a humble servant, Jesus Christ, was. Sorry about that. All right, so now let's move to what the miracle actually was, the actual details of it. And so I divided this up into really four key points of four important things that this miracle is about. So the first thing, the humble servant, Jesus Christ, uses his disciples as instruments for the miracle that he was about to perform. I think this is very important. And that Jesus, while he could have done this all by himself, he could have gathered the bread by himself, he could have thanked God by himself, he could have distributed it by himself. He has all the power to do that. That he chose to use his disciples in order to do that. He chose to give his disciples these baskets to hand to the people, to distribute it. He chose to have them get those 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, which is about a boy's lunch, by the way. He chose to have them do that, really just because he chose to. Because he's a merciful, gracious God, and that he allows us to do his work. And he doesn't just allow the disciples to do his work, but to anyone who has accepted him as their Savior. You can do his work. You can share the gospel. We have the privilege of having the Word of God in our hands. The power of salvation, that we can tell others about what Jesus did on the cross and about how he forgave sin. We have the privilege to be able to do that. God, he uses us to share the word, and then he saves sinners. What an amazing privilege it is that we are given the privilege to do that. It's awesome. So tell someone today about what Jesus did for you. What an amazing gift it is. And so then after we see this, we see that Jesus, he gives the disciples the baskets, they distribute it. Another thing we see is that Jesus, he gives his blessing upon the food. So let's read that. And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said, a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And so everything that Jesus does, he does it in obedience to the Father. In fact, his whole reason coming to earth was to do the will of the Father, and ultimately that would lead him to the cross. And that the will of the Father was that he would be the perfect sacrifice on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sin if we trust in him. So Jesus, he always does the will of the Father, and he asks that the Father would bless this food for these people. Third thing we see is that all are satisfied. All the people there. And now it says 5,000. But as it says in the last verse, it says, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. And so likely there is much more than 5,000 people there. I mean, could be up to 20,000 people that were there eating food. And all of them were satisfied. What an amazing miracle it is. And everyone ate as they needed to be full, but it doesn't seem that any overindulged in the food. No, but they just ate and they were full. It says that they were satisfied. And finally, the fourth point, there was 12 baskets of leftovers. And now I could go on about how this symbolizes the 12 tribes of Israel. And while it may be true to some certain extent, I don't think that's the main point that we should draw from these leftovers. But one thing that's important about these leftovers is that no good gift from God should be wasted. That's given unto us. No good gift from God should be wasted. God gives us many good gifts, and oftentimes we take them for granted. Our family, the fact that we have a home to stay in, we have a car to drive, all these things, we take them for granted. And yet they should not be wasted, because they're good gifts from God. He has given them to us. So we should gather those things and not waste them one bit. And see, what the thing we see here is that all who came to Jesus in this passage, they all were satisfied. And that's the same thing true today, is that if you come to Jesus with a repentant heart, all who come to him, he will satisfy all. It says in John 6:35, Jesus said to them, and to them, that is talking about the same people that we're talking about here. These are the same crowd. They followed and went to Jesus again. And really, they just wanted to talk to him about getting more food. Perhaps making him king so that he could make them more food and they wouldn't have to work, which is not what Jesus was getting at. And so here's what Jesus said to them. It says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now, this isn't talking physical hunger, physical thirst. Obviously, every day we get hungry and thirsty. But Jesus, he meets our spiritual needs when we cannot meet them ourselves. They're all burdened to our sin. Our sin separates us from God. Because of that, we cannot come to God on our own. Romans says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus, being the bread of life, he can satisfy us. He can give us eternal life, and he can meet that need. He can provide for us when we cannot provide for ourselves. Just as these people in this passage, every single one of them was satisfied with this food. So any who come to Jesus, they will be satisfied by having their sins forgiven. Jesus, he met our spiritual needs at the cross. Because that sacrifice was required for our sin. It's such a serious thing. In God's wrath, that's punishment for our sin. And it's a very just punishment. So that's why Jesus came to endure that for you and me. That provision that he gave to us, it came with a price, a big price. He could have stayed at his throne in heaven and not suffered at all. He would have been just in doing that, but instead he decided to be gracious and come and die for you and me. So what does all this mean for you and me? What it really means is the time to believe is today. Not tomorrow, not next week. You don't know when you're going to die. No idea. So the time to believe is now. Now why should we believe now? Why is this so important? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. Now if you die without belief, trusting in Jesus as your Savior, you endure the punishment of your sin. And so to respond, we should repent and believe. Repent meaning to turn from our sin. Tell God we know that we have sinned and start living for him. And then to believe, just believe that Jesus did what he said he did. Believe that he died on the cross and rose again. Ask him to live in you. So if you haven't done that today, my prayer is that you would do it today. All right, so I'm going to pray to close right now. So can you guys bow your heads and close your eyes? Dear Jesus, I thank you for your word. And I pray if that someone in here hasn't trusted in Jesus as your Savior, that they would do that today, that they would put their faith in you today, that they would not wait. I thank you for this passage, and I thank you that you provide for us every single day. Even though we can't do that ourselves. I just pray that we would bless you for the rest of this day and that you would provide for us this week. In your name, amen.